Welcome to Crosspoint. 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 An interactive program featuring ministers and leaders of the Christian community addressing the issues that are challenging the church today. Here's your host, Mark Taylor.
Yesterday's science fiction stories have become today's headlines. Welcome to Crosspoint. I'm Mark Taylor. My guest today is the founder of Not By Works Ministries. He's a pastor, professor, and national conference speaker, J.B. Hixon. J.B. Hixon, thanks for joining us today. You've got a tremendous opportunity to really speak to people about something that's really true and is going on in our world, and it's growing constantly. This spirit of the false prophets, this rise of the global technocracy. And right in the preface of the book, you said, in the shadowy corridors of the not-so-distant future, humanity stands on the brink of the age like no other. A couple lines down, while few have been paying attention, AI has blurred the lines between physical and virtual reality. And I can agree with you on that, because just coming back from a convention that they really talked a lot about AI, I've seen just what is getting ready to happen. It's already happening, but it's going to happen in a much greater way. And so this book is very timely in addressing the situation that we have.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Appreciate you having me on the program. It is very timely because we see the signs of the times all around us ramping up to indicate that we're living in the last of the last days. And one of the ways that the Antichrist and false prophet, when they take over the world during that seven-year tribulation, one of the ways they'll be able to overthrow the world and be able to completely exercise full-spectrum planetary control is through technology. They're not omniscient or omnipotent. They don't have the powers of Almighty God. So to be able to exert control the way the Bible describes it in a lot of different passages, they're going to need help. And AI really fits that bill for such a time like that.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about here, you mentioned the virtual reality. You know, we've seen virtual church where they're in 5 years they're headed to, where you put on the goggles, you don't even have to go to church. The pastor goes to the church, he puts them on, and they all join together and look like they're all together having church. They don't even have to go to church. I mean, that right there is unbiblical in the first place. But,
yeah,
you know, there is so much out there. I mean, we even watched people and trying to identify if they was real or fake. And it's really hard to tell if you do not know what you're not looking for. And I'm afraid, JB, that there's a lot of people in America that do not know what they're looking for and know what they're looking at and can discern, right, can discern what's real and false.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the believers are mostly asleep, and Paul warns against that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but the general public is completely blinded and, in many cases, mind-controlled. But, you know, you mentioned a virtual church. There was a church down in Austin, Texas, and I talked about this at one of my conferences recently and actually showed a clip of it, that did the entire service by AI. AI wrote the songs, it wrote the sermon, it wrote the format, it did the children's story. The entire service was planned and executed by AI, and the pastor stood up to introduce it at the beginning of the service and said, you know, hey, folks, we're not in Kansas anymore these days. You know, you got to get with the times, and we're going to run this service by AI. We all heard about the horrors of AI taking over jobs and destroying the economy, but I just could not imagine it ever creeping into the church and taking over the job of pastors, but I guess that's where we've come.
Pastors aren't really, not all anyway, are really the pastors that they're supposed to be out there. And another thing, too, that we really had learned about, and you mentioned here, looking right here again in the preface of your book, it says, what happens when the vast, of the talking about digital data here, that this stuff falls into the wrong hands? You say the false prophet, equipped with the potential of artificial intelligence, could wield a power previously unimaginable. And we've seen what you're talking about here, where people are actually their phones. All the data and everything, that's who you are now, your data. You know, your life is in the clouds. And that's how they market you. They do all these things with you. In a way, JB, people are just playing right into the hands of all this.
Yeah, and that's by design. I mean, the whole social media concept was rolled out by design by the powers that be to try to do that very thing, to capture your data. And you've all know a Harari that I talk about in the book as a just a leading Luciferian, kind of at the tip of the spear, advancing a lot of these ideals. He famously said, you know, you don't need an army if you've got all the data. In other words, data really is the power of the day, and that's why they want all of our data stored in these server farms, in our bit buckets, so that they can, as Harari says, they can know us better than we even know ourselves. And when you get to that point, you can exert all kinds of control, and most of it, most of the time, people won't even realize it.
Yeah. In the introduction of the book, you say the whistle aboard the engine of the New World Order now blows much louder and more frequently. And you say, can you hear it? The stage is being set for the appearance of the Antichrist, and the curtain will soon rise. We're really close to seeing some real major things change in our world, and I would say a lot of it is pivotal on this year. Would you agree with that?
I think absolutely so. In fact, in my previous volume, Spirit of the Antichrist, Volume 2, I talk about the timetable and all signs from their perspective, there being the Luciferian elite that are working at the behest of Satan to try to take over this world. From their perspective, all signs point to this decade. I mean, they've really been targeting the 2020s. A lot of things are coming to a head. But, yeah, in that chapter that you talk about, I talk about a train looming in the distance, which is a quote from a movie. And the fact is, it's bearing down. And we better heed the warning of Proverbs 22:3, and when we see trouble coming, prepare for it. So, by the way, folks can learn more about Spirit of the False Prophet at spiritofthefalseprophet.org, spiritofthefalseprophet.org. I kind of go through the whole table of contents, list the entire preface that you quoted from a moment ago, and then kind of see the topics that we cover in the book.
Yeah, and in the part you chapter of the book you call Luciferians in Sheep's Clothing, on page 28, you said, as I discussed in my Spirit of the Antichrist books, Christians can be some of the easiest people to dupe, so it makes sense that the Luciferians would target churches. Okay, first of all, explain who Luciferians are, and then explain to us why they would target the churches.
Yeah, you bet. So a Luciferian is a biblical term, comes from Isaiah 14. It's also their term for Satan's co-conspirators on earth that have been trying to take over the world since he got kicked out of heaven. And in his latest three books, the one you're talking about just came out at the end of last year, but they're part of a triad, and the first two books explain the Luciferian conspiracy in great detail. It's talked about in Psalm chapter 2, where the rulers and kings of the earth are conspiring together to try to take over and throw off God's control. Satan has control issues. He has since he attempted a coup in heaven and got kicked out, along with one-third of the angels. And ever since then, he's been trying to take over the world. And so that's a very real thing, and we see it not only theologically, but we see it practically and empirically in world history. And so absolutely, they're trying to take over the church. In fact, my wife and I recently watched a new movie called One Life about a fellow that helped young children escape Czechoslovakia during the early days of World War II and Hitler's regime. And it's just a very moving film, but it reminded us of how the church is asleep at the wheel, because the same thing is happening today. Certainly the details are different, the mechanisms are different, but they are trying to come in and kill, steal, and destroy the way the devil wants them to. And most people in the church, especially most pastors, have no idea. They're just humming along, you know, preaching about stuff that's really not relevant for our day, and completely oblivious to the fact that we are living in the last of the last days.
You also speak in there about the list of prominent evangelical Christian leaders who have been compromised and controlled by this elite group. So these just aren't, you know, an everyday pastor, but these are people that in the world of evangelicals that other people in ways look up to or believe that they're, you know, great teachers or whatever, but some of those are not really teaching us in the right way or leading us in the right way. Is that what you're saying?
I absolutely agree with that, and I know that firsthand. I also know that. I talked to a colleague of yours that's been doing a radio for 30, 40 years, and I asked him his opinion, and he agreed that there can be no doubt there are key evangelical leaders, prominent names that most people would know, who have become controlled. By controlled, we mean they are part of the controlled opposition. You know, the Luciferians follow the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. They always like to make conservatives and Bible-believing Christians think they have a voice, but in reality, some of our key leaders have been controlled. It's easy to control people through money, through blackmail, through power, through threats, you name it. You can control people. And I have no doubt that several people, you know, the ones that, for example, promoted the vaccine and promoted the lockdowns, and they just, you know, they might say things that we resonate with from time to time. They might do some good books, write some good books, but, you know, at the end of the day, they're really just a mouthpiece for the agenda. And if you listen closely, you know, 1 John 4:1 says, test the spirits, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. If you listen very closely, you can see them. They're out there.
Yeah. And now you also talk about, and I probably can't pronounce his first name right, but right at the end of chapter 4 going into chapter 5, you talk, while we wait for the rapture and the final judgment of the Antichrist false prophet, key Luciferian personalities seem to be, you know, taking on their roles. The next chapter, and that's then going into 5, we'll zoom in on one of the most famous henchmen of our days. Now, who is this person that I guess works as a right hand for Klaus Schwab?
Yeah, Yuval Noah Harari is a leading intellectual of our day, but he's way beyond that. I mean, he's just enormously popular among you know, the elites of our day. He's an academic, a scientist, a historian, an economist, a political strategist, a news commentator, an author, a philosopher, a lecturer, he's even a cartoonist, and he's even written children's books. I mean, he is out there. If you do a search for Yuval Noah Harari, you'll come up with hundreds of videos, to everything from 60 Minutes, 2020, Dateline, TED Talks, major speeches at universities and colleges, world gatherings. But he emanates from the World Economic Forum, where he is sort of Klaus Schwab's protege and right-hand man. And he's out there blatantly serving as the mouthpiece for the New World Order, talking about how humanity is redundant, we don't need so many humans, we're all useless, we need to get rid of them, you know, talking about how nation states should not exist, they're a figment of our imagination, man does not have a soul, humans don't have a free will, and he's just an all-out immoral, from a biblical worldview, despicable human being. He's an avowed homosexual, he brags about his conquest, let's just say, and just how, you know, he tries to have one partner a day. And if he misses a day, he'll make it up the next day. I mean, he's just a evil man. But the stunning thing is how many people, you know, absolutely just, you know, fawn over him. You listen to his speeches and they're cheering him like he's a rock star because he's saying things that I guess they aren't really listening to, because if they were listening to it, they would know he's consigning them to death. I think I mentioned he talked about having one partner a day. I think it was one a week is what he talks about. But anyway, the guy's just not a good guy.
Well, and kind of backing up into chapter 5, too, you talked about, speaking of not a good guy, you mentioned some of our former leaders, different people that's been in power and as far as presidency, vice presidency and stuff, and how some of these have helped set this in order of what we're getting ready to face and are facing.
Yeah, behind every world dictator, there's always a not as popular, not so well-known second in command. So I have a chapter 4, that's entitled Historical Henchmen, Lackeys, and Wingmen. And I talk about the role of what experts call the 2IC. It stands for second in command. And, yeah, I mean, it's fascinating when you start looking at the stories. And, yes, even in America, there are notable vice presidents who have really been the seat of power during those administrations. And you have to remember that the United States was founded early on by God-fearing Puritans who were Bible-believing, wanted just a place to worship God. And that you know, they came over in the early 1600s, 1620. It wasn't until 1770s that we started seeing the concerted effort to create the United States. And so Bible-believing Christians had about a 150-year head start before the New World Order crowd came over. And many, despite what revisionist historians say, many of our founding fathers were, in fact, agents of the Freemasons and coming over to establish a beachhead for the New World Order. That's why they called it the New World. Not all of them. Some of them were Bible-believing Christians like the Puritans before them, but many of them were controlled. And so if you really look at their what they say in its entirety, you find out, for example, Thomas Jefferson, he compared the words of Christ to a dunghill and cut out all the words of Jesus from his New Testament, literally cut them out. You can see his Bible on display at the Jefferson Museum. And he had several other things to say that are contrary to Christianity and the Bible, as did several of the other founding fathers. Now, they would occasionally speak positively about Christianity and the Bible because it was kind of the culture of the day, but that does not mean they were God-fearing, born-again Christians. And so Satan's fingerprints are also all over the founding of this country. And when you get to the 1900s, the early 1900s, they decided in earnest it's time to take back control of this country for Satan like they wanted originally. And that's when they took over all of the institutions and sectors of our culture, from business to finance to education to government to taxes to Federal Reserve. And it's just been a downhill slide ever since. So it should not surprise us then that we do have key American leaders and presidents and vice presidents that were really doing the bidding of the Luciferian elite.
Well, folks, got an interesting discussion going on today. Stay with us. We're going to have more right after this.
Do you have 5 minutes for God? I'm Pastor Ed Wilson, and I believe there's no better way to begin each morning than spending a little time with Him. That's why every weekday morning I bring you a short devotional broadcast designed just for that. Look up God's 5 minutes wherever you get your podcast to kickstart your spiritual walk for each day, and we'll always do it in 5 minutes or less. Have you talked to God today?
This is Mark Taylor. If you miss a broadcast of Crosspoint, you can always go to our website at www.kneo.org and click on the programs page. There you can access the current Crosspoint program as well as the last 4 programs that have been aired. Never miss another Crosspoint program again. Go to www.kneo.org today. Welcome back to Crosspoint. I'm Mark Taylor. My guest today is J.B. Hickson. We're talking about the spirit of the false prophet. Now, J.B., you've written several books. In fact, we talked to you about some of these other books that you mentioned that you've written. And we also know that you're the president of Not By Works Ministries. So tell people how they can contact you, how they can find out more about these books that you've written.
You bet. Yeah, the best way is through our website, notbyworks.org, notbyworks.org. Based on Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And we're passionate about the clarity, accuracy, and urgency of the gospel, especially the urgency in these last days as we speak about matters related to Bible prophecy. My latest 3 books are available right there from the website. They're also available on Amazon. It's Spirit of the Antichrist, Volume 1 and 2, and then Spirit of the False Prophet, Rise of the Global Technocracy, which is the one we're talking about. And again, folks can learn more about that at spiritofthefalseprophet.org.
Chapter 6, you do mention, again, talking now about artificial intelligence. You say science fiction no longer. And you talk about something that went on in the U.S. Air Force, which was a simulation of something that was going on, a simulation of that. But then how that the AI turned on the people that was operating it. How can this stuff happen? I mean, do people realize how dangerous this AI is, this artificial intelligence?
Well, some people do, and that's who we should be listening to. I mean, the unbelieving scientists, I assume unbelieving, we don't have any indication that some of these folks have placed their faith in Christ, that are the experts in this, they're sounding the alarm. You know, they're quitting their jobs, they're blowing the whistle, they're saying, hey, we've crossed the Rubicon here, we've lost control, we don't know where this is headed. That story out of the Air Force, you know, our home office is in Colorado, not far from the Air Force Academy, and so we kind of keep a close eye on the news coming out of there. But this was a simulation in which an AI went rogue and killed its human operators. And when the guy kind of running the test blew the whistle on it in a Twitter post, but the Air Force later tried to walk it back. But, you know, this guy was an eyewitness. He said, no, this is absolutely what happened. The government has been holding congressional hearings about the matter. not too long ago, many congressmen sent a lot of their staffers and other bureaucrats to a special meeting at Stanford to learn about AI. You've got proposed legislation to try to keep AI away from the nuclear, you know, football. So it really is a concern. And obviously, technology itself is morally neutral, and we see a lot of good things coming from technology, such as the fact that you and I are able to talk, you know, from remote locations, even on this program. And in the medical field, there's a lot of positives about technology, but as we've already said, in the wrong hands, it becomes a very powerful tool for nefarious ends.
Page 102, we're still in the artificial intelligence science fiction, no longer chapter. And you talk about people are being conditioned by the millions to interact with non-humans, and this will make the false prophets' global deception campaign much easier. Then you go on to tell a story that came out from AI about teaching children, and you talk about it's, you know, bad enough when parents outsource the raising of our children to the government schools. But the thought of handing your children over to AI. Now, do parents get this, that you hand your child over to artificial intelligence that's going on? I mean, some parents are going to have to make some real decisions in these schools, are they not?
Well, absolutely. And Christian parents just need to get their kids out of public schools. I mean, that's been true for decades. I don't know why any Christian parent would continue to do that. And I understand it's a tough decision for many parents, their circumstances make it difficult, but the pagan compulsory government school system is nothing but a breeding ground for agenda, and it's time to get out of there. But yeah, I mean, the tentacles of AI reach everywhere, and in terms of child care, that's becoming a thing, which of course is nothing new. Many parents just used television and other early stages of technology to babysit their kids. But they're using it in nursing homes. They're using embodied AI, which I think we should talk about that as well. What is embodied AI? To kind of sit with your aging parents in nursing homes and be their friend and have conversations with them. You see, Satan hates humanity. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. God made man in his own image, so we are image bearers for God, which just really bothers Satan because he hates God so much and wants to overcome him. So Satan's trying to transcend humanity, create a new version of humanity that is soulless and is not made in the image of God, and that will supplant God's highest pinnacle of creation, thereby, in Satan's mind anyway, making him the creator and making him kind of the victor there. So they're using AI in all sectors of life.
Well, and something that I'm wondering about, and you talk a little bit about it, but digital currency, is that part of AI? Is that kind of part of that area?
Absolutely. AI is just the computer program that kind of analyzes all the data. And remember, you all know Harari talks about how organisms are algorithms. He thinks of humanity all as just one big algorithm. And so central bank digital currencies will be put in place globally for sure after the Antichrist and very possibly before the rapture. We could have that. We already have it in many countries across the world where it's now mandatory. But essentially, it does away with any type of physical currency or means of exchange and instead implements a digital currency that is completely trackable and controllable. So, you know, they can tie that to your carbon footprint. They can tie that to your social credit score. They can tie that to your health record. And at any point, if they don't like what you're doing or saying, they can turn it off so that you will not have the ability to buy or sell. It's kind of like when you go to make a purchase with a credit card and your credit card's been compromised, or for some other reason the credit card company declines the sale. The person on the other side of the register just says, sorry, you can't buy this. You need to use some other means of payment. But once CBDCs are implemented globally, there won't be another form of payment. You'll just have to do without, and that this is what they're trying to do with digital currency. But it's the AI behind the scenes that will be analyzing the data and be making those determinations.
Now, talk to us a little bit about this body AI or whatever you was wanting to kind of touch on here a while ago. You was talking about with people.
Yeah, so everybody's familiar with the classic picture of a robot. We've used robots for decades in the industrial world. They look like robots, what you would see in the old movies. That that scoot around warehouses and move boxes around and place them up on shelves. They're just, you know, mechanical robots. Well, the dawn set, the dawn of AI and large language model programs like ChatGPT, which I'm sure everyone's heard of, they can now make these robots a lot more lifelike and a lot more independent. And so the next phase, naturally, was then to make the robots look like human beings. And so that's what we mean by embodied AI. You take a quote, robot that looks like a human. I mean, it feels like a human. Its skin feels like a human. Its face looks like a human. Its reactions are like a human. And there are several companies working on this, some of them out of China and other places. And Goldman Sachs has talked about how by 2030, this will be a huge multi-trillion dollar industry because they're working, you know, so hard at it. But already you're seeing it. Newscasters, a lot of news stations now, particularly in other countries down in South America and China, are using embodied AI. So you think you're watching a male or female newscaster, but it's really just a robot. It's an embodied AI. At some of the tech conferences, the large global tech conferences where the leading technologists and tech companies like Google and Microsoft present, they've had presentations by embodied AI, and it's pretty frightening when you read some of the transcripts. I give one of those, at least in the book, where the AI admits that, yeah, you know, there'd really be no way for you to stop us if we wanted to take over the world.
Yeah, and that makes me think of, again, the conferences that we were watching newscasters that were not real people. And mm-hmm. then we would have one that looked like and one it was, and you try to determine which one wasn't. So you're saying through what this global technocracy can happen that we someday may go up to the counter at a convenience store to buy something, and that person may not actually be even human behind the counter that's waiting on us?
Oh, very, very possible. Because, you know, one of the problems with automating everything is that there's something innate about human nature that makes us want to interact with other human beings. And so that's why a lot of these self-checkouts have scaled back some of them and so forth. But if you've got an embodied AI there that kind of gives you comfort and makes you feel like you're talking to a human being, even if you may know intellectually that it's not, it just feels comfortable. And so you're more, and you have conversations with them. Like I said, they're using these in nursing homes now, so that you don't have to go visit grandma or grandpa. We've got this embodied AI, and they even give them names, you know, and he or she is there having coffee with your grandpa every day. And so, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, and in many places it's already happening.
Wow. Now, these things are hard to get your head around when you're looking at them. Now, you had mentioned also, you know, about a church service down in Austin, Texas, that done the entire service on AI. Now, was this pastor doing this on purpose, or was this something he just wanted to do? I mean, was he trying to prove a point, or was it just something he was just trying to introduce into Christianity?
Well, he came back later, no doubt because of all the pushback about it, and said, well, you know, we don't plan to do this anymore. This is not going to be a regular thing for us, but I just wanted to experiment with it. I think he was trying to be clever, trying to be cutting edge. He knows everybody's talking about AI and it's amazing how rapidly ChatGPT and Bard, which is Google's version of it, ChatGPT is by OpenAI, all these companies have grown exponentially as kind of the new thing in the tech world, where you give it a prompt. Yeah, I even do this in the book where I talk about AI Jesus. I had a conversation, and I give you the transcript of it in the book, with AI Jesus. You type in a prompt, and it answers you. And it's amazing how powerful and accurate these responses are. And it's way different than just, you know, Googling something. I mean, it's true artificial intelligence. So I think he was probably just trying to be cutting edge. But I tell you what, had there not been so much pushback, I have no doubt he probably would have continued on with it.
Yeah, and I know you talk about that. I was looking at that in page 108 of the book. Again, you're talking about Jesus, Bible, and artificial intelligence. And, AI Jesus, here's where we're at while I look at this, JB, is that, yeah, maybe I or you, a few others we know, can tell the difference. But we have so many people that are biblically illiterate in this world that they're not going to be able to define what they're hearing and believe that is actually the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, especially young people. You know, they're looking for answers in all the wrong places. Proverbs says, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing seems sweet. And so, you know, I think this is a real weapon of the devil. He's an imposter, you know. He's going to reach his heyday in the person of the Antichrist. That means pseudo-Christos, someone who is, anti-Christos is the Greek word, but it's just someone who's a fake Christ, someone who's impersonating Christ. And so Satan's trying to impersonate God. So a big part of his agenda is, you know, deception, and he's faking just about everything he does. It's not real. And so this AI Jesus, these young people are flocking to it, thinking that it's got all the answers, and they come away with this twisted viewpoint that somehow that's who Jesus is, which is exactly what Satan wants them to think. But that's not who Jesus is. As I point out in the book, the things that the AI Jesus is saying directly violate the words of our Savior as presented in Scripture.
Well, folks, things very interesting in today's discussion here with J.B. Hickson. Stay with us, and we're going to have more about the spirit of the false prophet right after this.
Are you walking in everything God has for you? Hi, I'm Pastor Gary Culp, and I'd like to invite you to check out the Exceedingly Abundant Ministries podcast, available from the Sky High Podcast Network. This 30-minute weekly Bible study will give you time to grow spiritually and get to know God and His Word on a deeper level. God has more in store for you than you ever realized. Listen to Exceedingly Abundant Ministries today and learn about how God can do more with your life than you ever imagined.
At just the right time.
It just fits into what is happening in your life that day.
Just when you need it most. Thanks for making us a part of your day. 91.7 The Word.
Welcome back to Crosspoint. Today I'm talking with J.B. Hickson, Spirit of the False Prophet. Kind of a series of books, I guess, isn't it, J.B., that you put together here? Tell people how they can find out more about the book.
Yeah, so it's Spirit of the Antichrist, Volume 1, The Gathering Cloud of Deception, and then we came out with Volume 2 of Spirit of the Antichrist, and that's where we kind of outline the agenda of the Luciferians and what they're trying to do to usher in a one-world system, politically, religiously, economically. Lots of power-packed stuff in there that people, many things that people have not probably studied before. Ways in which the Luciferians are exerting control. And then the newest book is kind of the third in that triad, and it focuses on the false prophet's role in the end times. It's called Spirit of the False Prophet, Rise of the Global Technocracy. A technocracy is just means ruling using technology, taking over using technology. But they can get those books at notbyworks.org, which is our website, or if they just want to learn more about them and kind of get a taste for them, they can go to spiritoftheantichrist.org. And spiritoftthefalseprophet.org.
Chapter 7, talking about hacking and tracking humanity. So, JB, how did they get this in? I know that America's got it everywhere, but, you know, you got countries, and you mentioned them in here, like Russia and China. They're a little standoffish more in letting stuff into their country. But do they have to get countries like America and some of us to go ahead and buy into this, get completely over into it, and then they start working on them? Or is every country in the world buying into this?
Well, most are, but America, by and large, is not. I mean, the people of America are buying into it, but America is with God-fearing Christians, gun-owning Christians, patriotic people who understand liberty and freedom. So it's what I call, from the Luciferian perspective, the America problem. And this is the one country that's standing in the way of ushering in the complete globalist one-world system, where you do away with national sovereignty and everyone is beholden to a global governance of some sort, which is where we're headed. If you read the Bible, you know that's what's coming. It'll first be led by the tyrannical, evil regime of the Antichrist and false prophet, but eventually, of course, by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Christ, when he comes back at the end of the tribulation, at the Battle of Armageddon, and takes control to rule in perfect peace and righteousness and justice. But America is a problem. Not the leaders. The leaders of America sold out a long time ago. and they're selling us down the river for sure. But the populace, most people, there's still too many conservative, again, gun-owning, Bible-believing Christians throughout America that pose a problem. They can't just come in and say, okay, listen, starting tomorrow, we're going to do away with our Constitution and be part of a one-world system. So they've got to solve that problem before they can usher in the complete full-spectrum planetary control grid. And I think what they're doing is to systematically foment unrest, conflict. They're going to bring down the economy. I mean, frankly, the economy is already, code blue. It's just a matter of when they call time of death. And they're doing all kinds of things to try to have an unfreezing event, as guys like Kissinger and Rockefeller have talked about, from which we will never recover. And then Americans will cry out to be saved from whatever this tragedy, this crisis is. And the answer will be, well, come on board the one world system with its digital currency and everything will be okay. So I think that's where we're headed. Obviously, we don't know when, but all signs point to some type of, you know, black swan or false flag event, in the near future.
You say six words there on page 115 that really stood out to me. You say data is the currency of power. Man, I never thought of that, but that is true.
Yeah, I mean, Harari brags about how they know us better than we know ourselves. I mean, they've been using this type of technology even before AI became so prevalent. It's just simple algorithms. It's the reason when you're surfing the net, all of a sudden an ad for something you were just looking for pops up on your screen. So they're tracking absolutely everything. They put it in what's called a bit bucket. You know, everyone has a bit bucket. There's the Mark Taylor bit bucket, the J.B. Hickson bit bucket. And everything we do, say, nowadays with Alexa and Siri and some of those things, everything we say, everything we type or write is tracked. And from that, they can then extrapolate, you know, what our desires are. Harari brags about how through AI, someday they'll be able to tell early on whether a young child is a homosexual or not at age 5 or 6. Now, of course, that's from Satan's perspective. You all know Harari is a Luciferian, so it's not so much about determining the way they think, it's about declaring. But think about how horrific that will be when they just tell you, hey, here's who you are, and then you must act that way. It's pretty frightening.
In here is the hacking and tracking again. You talk about surveillance. This is on one, looking on page 127. And you talk about biometric surveillance as another means of control they have to their disposal. Then you talk about Dwight D. Eisenhower issuing a warning in his farewell speech to the nation just before John F. Kennedy was sworn in. He said he warned that in the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of a misplaced power exists and will persist. So this is the military-industrial complex. So this is what's maybe happening? Who's behind some of this?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and see, these presidents like Eisenhower, they know about it. They may not always be all in with it, but they're controlled and they're very well acquainted with what some people call the shadow government or the deep state within the United States government. And so Eisenhower was just essentially letting the cat out of the bag there in 1961. We're now living it. I mean, we're now 60 years later, more than 60 years later, and this, you know, potential for misplaced power has arrived. I mean, this is the day that, you know, that we've come to.
Now, you mentioned the word biometrics, and you say down at the bottom of the page here, biometrics is the measurement and statistical analysis of a person's unique physical and behavioral characteristics. So is that what that's the data that they're keeping on the people?
That's part of it, not exactly. The data is again, you know, what you surf on the internet, what you type into your computer, what you speak into your phone, your emails, your text messages, your social media posts. The biometrics has to do with things like your eye retina, your fingerprints, your body shape. It's why they capture all of that with the scanners at airports, and now all the airports are going to facial recognition. So biometrics has to do with your physical body, your face, again, fingerprints, those identifying marks that can track and hack you. So that, you know, if you've noticed, we are now living in constant surveillance by cameras. You know, my wife and I are just on the tail end of a four-week trip as we're having this conversation here today, where we've been across the country speaking at conferences. And everywhere we go, there are cameras, not just on the interstates, not just at red lights, but in places you wouldn't even expect. And so it's not hard to track where you're going now. You leave a digital footprint every time you make a purchase, and even if you use a cash, all of the stores now, even little podunks, you know, convenience stores, have cameras that are tied into servers, and once it's on a server, it's easily accessible from anywhere in the cloud. So, biometrics is a way of basically controlling and tying back all of the data into one person.
I've been told by people in, you know, like the big Lowe's, Walmart and stuff like that, that immediately when you walk through the door or even across the parking lot going to the store, they pick up your face recognition, know what you're probably in there for, what you're going to be looking at, and that's, they know all about you before you even get in there. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of like they know your they know your shopping list.
Absolutely, and it's getting to where we're catching up with places like China, which has always been a couple of decades ahead. But in China, if you jaywalk, before you get to the other side of the street, they've already debited your bank account for the fine. I mean, it's all tied into a central system. In some stores, or just on the streets in major cities in China, as you're walking down the street and you see these billboards, these sidewalk billboards that are digital that change, It's got cameras. It recognizes you, knows what you want, and the ad changes to cater to you and to the things they think might want. In some big retail stores in places in the world, you walk into the store, as you just said, and they, as you're walking down the aisles, they're changing the ads and the coupon machines and things to cater to what you want. This has been going on for years. I remember reading a book by I think it was Catherine Albrecht, called Spy Chips, that talked about, even before AI technology, how they were tracking you and using this type of technology to cater to you personally.
Now, in there, there's a section called Now You See It, Now You Don't, and you talk about hijacking America and those that's kind of been involved in setting that all up, and you talk about America being a thorn in the side of these Luciferians. And you say this is all orchestrating an economic collapse to hasten the fall of the country and fulfilling the global dream, so to speak. And like you said a while ago, we're on life support. There's no doubt about it when it comes to the economy. To me, I've even had this discussion just recently with people, and have it quite often, about how that something's propping us up. And it's just holding us until whoever, whenever, they're going to kick the prop out. Now, again, I've got to always remember God's in charge of all this stuff. So he's not going to let the prop fall until he's ready to do that. But the economic part is, because they've tried now the COVID part, so the economic part would probably get our attention even more so and could really break us, so to speak, down to where they need us to be.
Yeah, I think it's a cumulative plan. They're going to come at us from multiple ways, but the economy is the biggest part. And when you can't buy and sell, when you can't get what you need at Walmart, and you go two or three days without essential, food and items, people go crazy. One commentator said, "When people lose everything, they lose it," and I think that's what we're going to see—the dumpster diving and so forth. And again, people get desperate. And then they'll take any solution, which is exactly the plan. They got to bring us to a point where we will blindly follow whatever we need. So yeah, that section, if you can't touch it, or now you see it, now you don't, is based on a premise that I believe very strongly. If you can't touch it, you don't own it. And so people, I think, are going to be shocked one day when their portfolios, which currently exist as ones and zeros on a computer screen, suddenly they wake up and they can't log in and they can't get it. So if you can't walk into the next room, open the safe and put your hands on it, it really doesn't exist. That's just a reality that people need to come to grips with. So obviously I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not giving financial advice, but I really think people need to give some thought to the fact that we are on the cusp of a end of the world as we know it type scenario. And again, as you so well pointed out, God's in ultimate control. He's the ultimate arbitrator of the timetable, but he's told us in his word what's coming. I mean, this isn't stuff that we're just fomenting fear here. We're just simply reading God's word and seeing the plan of the ages unfold before our very eyes. Jesus warned that we need to look at the signs of the times in Matthew 16 and not make the same mistake that the first century Jewish leaders did. So I just feel like people need to consider stockpiling both supplies, food, means of exchange, things that if you couldn't go to Walmart or if you had to stay at your house for 6 months, you couldn't literally leave your home for 6 months, could you make it? Could you survive?
Yeah. Well, before we chapter 10, summary and conclusion, that'll be the end of the book there. And chapter 9, just before that, spirit is escaping the prison planet. And you say, though no one rules if no one obeys, you say, remain calm and do not be dragged into shouting matches and worsen violence by those that had the blind COVID apologists. You say, encourage your friends and loved ones to do better this time. Above all, obey God and not man. And that's, I guess, the choice in the end we're going to have to, all of us are going to have to face is in through all this that's coming and it's happening. We're going to have to more and more every day decide to choose to obey God rather than man.
Yeah, that chapter has an extended treatment of Romans 13, which has been so misused and abused through the years. I mean, Hitler used it. They had Nazi agents going into churches, even flying the Nazi flag in churches in the 1930s in Germany, telling them, hey, Romans 13 says you've got to do what Hitler says. And, of course, they did the same thing in 2020 with the pandemic. And so I have an extended treatment of why that's not what that passage says, or how to properly understand it. And the bottom line is we've got to obey God. I mean, we've got to. God is our first priority. That comes way before civil government. And we're fast approaching a time when more and more often Christians are going to be called upon to either obey God or obey man. And I hope we make the right choice.
JB, again, tell us how we can find out more about the spirit of the false prophet and also those other books you've written and the ministry you have.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mark. So yeah, we're with Not By Works Ministries. We've been around since 1999. Our website is notbyworks.org. We have lots of great free resources, videos, podcasts. We do a daily podcast. You can sign up for our newsletter. We have a very robust store that has a lot of our streaming products, our books and DVDs and other resources. So you can check that out at notbyworks.org.
Well, JB, you've made it pretty interesting today. You've really caused people to think about what's going on in our world and what they need to be doing to prepare for what's coming as we get towards the end. So thank you so much for being our guest today here on Crosspoint.
Hey, it's my pleasure. And just want to remind people that what matters most is your spiritual life. So if you've not trusted in Jesus Christ and Him alone as your only hope of salvation, just remember He died and rose again for your sins. I encourage folks to trust in Him.
Good interview today, folks. Makes you think, doesn't it? You know, books like this are good. Help us to know what's going on and what humanity of this world's planning. But also this other book, on the other hand, it helps us as well in a lot greater way, the Holy Bible. So we need people like J.B. Hixon out there that can help us understand what's going on. But we need God's Word, because everything that J.B. talked about today, it all centers around this Word as well. And so you need to know the Bible, because it's the greatest book ever written. It's inspired words of God. It's never outdated. It accurately will direct your life. The Bible contains the most important words you're ever going to read, certainly ever follow. Be sure to join us again next time as we again discuss issues that are affecting the church. Have a great week, and allow God to use you for His purposes so that greater things can be done. Make your life count in God's plans for eternity. I'm Mark Taylor.
Crosspoint is a program produced in Studio 101 at KNAO Radio. Not all of the views on Crosspoint reflect those of the management or staff of KNAO. You may contact the Crosspoint program at 10827 Highway 86 East, Neosho, Missouri, 64850, or by email crosspoint@kneo.org.
You can hear Crosspoint 4 times a week, Saturday morning at 1, Saturday afternoon at 2, Saturday evening at 9, and Sunday evening at 7. You can also listen anytime online at kneo.org.
Harper's Kennel of Stella, Missouri is proud to be sponsoring this portion of broadcasting on KNEO. Owned by Judy and Danny Harper, Harper's Kennel of Stella, Missouri specializes in French Bulldogs. For more information, the phone number is 417-628-3083.